Tonight's reading is Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48, which you'll find on page 1050 of the Church Bibles. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Weren't our hearts burning within us when he opened the scriptures and explained to us? Lord, we pray that your spirit will soften our hearts, convict us of our sins, and help us, strengthen us, to be ready for the return of Jesus. So give us ears to hear your word tonight. This we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, I imagine you were getting ready to be at this service this evening. Perhaps you checked the DLR if it was working or the underground so that you can be ready for any surprise. After this service, you'll be served in your seats tea and coffee that has been made ready for you. We all like to be prepared, don't we? We like things to be made ready for us. Perhaps this summer you're taking your holiday to Cornwall or to Wales, and you'd like the resort that you booked to be ready for you when you arrive. Life will be miserable if we do not prepare or getting ready for the next thing to do. Well, the passage we're looking at this evening deals with this matter of being ready. You must be ready. This is not like missing the alarm and catching the next one in 5 minutes. This readiness, it is serious. It is a matter of life and death, blessings and curses. You must be ready. And I hope and pray that at the end of this evening, that both you and I will be people who are ready. Well, why must you be ready? Well, we'll discover that tonight as we study this passage together. But here are two things that I want us to take home with us. The first is this. So from verse 35 to 40, we don't know the time of Jesus' return, so we must be ready at all times. We don't know the time of Jesus' return, so we must be ready at all times. Luke, the doctor, has been presenting to Theophilus the orderly account of Jesus' ministry so that he may have certainty in the person of the Lord Jesus and his word. So Luke records this wonderful parable for Theophilus. Now it is worth remembering that a parable is not necessarily meant to be allegorical. It is a response to a question or teaching single truth. Not always, but often it is so. So in the beginning of this chapter, Jesus has been teaching, correcting, and warning those who listen to him. There's a warning in verses 13 to 21, and that is to a rich man. He lives for a here and now moment. He's not a prepared man to meet his Creator. His soul will be required, for he has thought of things here on earth, rather than investing on eternal things. He is not a prepared man. Now, in this thread of teaching, Jesus moves on with eschatological teaching about the end of times. This time would come. Indeed, it has begun. Therefore, you have to be ready. You must be ready. Have a look at verses 35 and 36. And here are two imperatives. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. This is someone who is ready for any action. He is awake and he's prepared to take action. He's a bit like Indiana Jones, if you like, always with his tools and a torch. He is ready for any surprises. These two pictures, friends, encourages us to be watchful people in the day or night. We don't know that when the Lord will come back. He must find our hearts burning at his service, ready to meet him. Stay dressed for action. This is a constant thing. This is not like putting your wedding gown for a day and take it off after the wedding has finished. We ought to stay dressed for action all times. For believers, to those of us who trust and believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be ready at all times. Well, I don't have to illustrate this because Jesus does this perfectly for us. He illustrates this perfectly. Have a look at verse 36. So be like a servant waiting for his master to come home from a wedding banquet. I'm told that in the ancient world, weddings used to take several days, even a week. In my culture, in Zulu culture, traditionally, wedding will take a week. I'm glad that that is not the case anymore, well, in my culture, well, in my context, really. So if you are the servant of the house, you really don't know if your master will come back on Thursday. Perhaps he had too much fun, he's just fed up, or he would come at the end of the ceremony. So you must be ready at all times. When your master comes back, verse 36, you must be ready for him. At once when he knocks, you open the door immediately. The lights are on. You don't have to look for oil to keep your lamps burning. You don't have to change into your proper clothes from your PJs because you are ready to meet your master. You are prepared to meet him. Well, are you dressed for action this evening? I fear for my grandmother, who is in her 80s now. She's not a believer. I have shared the gospel with her a few times. I don't know her heart and her deepest thoughts, but she doesn't seem to be a person ready to meet the Lord. She doesn't seem ready for Jesus' return. Well, maybe you're not in your 80s, and you think you can be ready, you will be ready when you reach that age. Can I urge you not to do that? Be ready today. Today is a day of salvation. Well, you can't be ready if you don't know the message of Jesus. And Jesus' message is that all those who would believe and follow him according to the Bible will be saved from their sins. They would have that perfect relationship with God the Creator because of Jesus' death on the cross. Not believing this message leads to judgment. Believing this message leads to eternal life. Those of us who have come to knowledge of knowing Christ, we must be ready because there is a blessing. Those who are ready are blessed. So this passage holds the two together, the encouragement of blessings and a warning to those who are not ready. So the blessings in verse 37 to 39. Those whom the master of the house finds awake, prepared to meet him, they will be favored in his sight. That means there's a reward for the faithful, for those who keep watch. And notice there at the end of verse 37 that the master of the house will come and serve them. And friends, this shouldn't surprise us. This shouldn't be strange at all, because we know that our master in the gospel according to John 13 served his disciples. He washed at their feet. But I couldn't find any place in the Bible where it speaks about the eschatological service of Christ to the church. So that is when Jesus comes back and serves. But the bottom line of this is that there is a blessing for those who are ready for the coming of the Lord. Verse 38, if the master of the house comes back at 12 a.m. or 3 a.m., those servants who are found awake will be blessed. There is a blessing, and that is the motivation for us to be ready. Well, I've never had the privilege of having video games when I was young, but I did observe from my friends who had those games. They would do whatever their parents asked them to do, because they know if they don't do their chores, they won't be able to play Pac-Man or Street Fighter. Very sad, isn't it? So the incentive for them to be ready at all times to do their chores is the excitement of playing Pac-Man. Well, friends, we're not playing games here. Our incentive here to be ready at all times is that we are going to be blessed. God in Christ will shower us with his blessings at the end of times. And blessed are you today who have treasured the gospel in your heart. Not just believing it as an abstract theory, but believing it as a personal, practical message that you believe in and hope in until the Lord returns. Though trials might come, keep persevering. Keep watch. Keep awake. There is a blessing waiting for us. The change of the economy climate might have drawn out the joy of loving Jesus in your heart. Therefore, you feel very weary. You don't have that energy to keep watch, to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Can I encourage you not to lose heart, not to lose hope? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. There is a reward waiting for us. I don't know what that reward looks like, but there is the reward for us. I have been immensely encouraged by some of you that I have got to know in the last year or so. The way you live your life, it is unquestionable that you are ready to meet your master. That has been encouraging. Some of you have been in your houses. Your hospitality demonstrates the power of the gospel working in and through you. And I have no doubts in my heart that when the Lord comes, he will say, "My good and faithful servant." And how I long for that day to see smiles on your faces because of the blessings of Christ bestowed upon you. Well, thank you for that. Thank you very much for living out the gospel. I find myself sometimes saying lots of negative things about my Christian brothers and sisters. But why don't you this week we encourage one another? And if you know someone who's been living out the gospel, by implication, being ready for the return of the Lord, why don't you grab them and say, "Thank you very much, brother, for living out the gospel. That is encouraging." But first, we must be ready ourselves and then encourage others as we go on. We ought to be prepared because we don't know the hour. We don't know when Christ will come back. Let me read verse 39. But note this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. So the master of the house would have stayed indoors. He would have prepared to meet this thief, maybe call the police beforehand to trap this thief, or he would have just prepared himself to punch this thief in the face. The point is, if the master knew about the surprise, he would have got himself ready for action. So it is with us this evening, verse 40. We must be ready for the Son of Man because we don't know the time. The return of the Son of Man, that is Jesus, it will be a day of sorrow and joy. He will be judged, he will judge and bless others. Some will be led into heaven and some will be ushered into hell. And I'd love to see all of you in this room being joyful at the return of Christ. But for this to happen, we need first to believe that Jesus is the Savior of our sins and the Lord of our life. That is, we must acknowledge that without Him being the leader of our life, we are doomed to judgment. Well, let me encourage you this afternoon to first believe in Jesus as your Savior of your sins. If you have been a Christian for a long time, I know you probably think, you begin to wonder when Jesus will come. Keep on waiting, my brothers and sisters. Do not be deceived by other people saying that they know the time when Jesus would come. On the 21st of May, you remember that the world was coming to an end, that Jesus was coming back. Well, here we are. It didn't work. And now we are told that they got the numbers wrong. In October, Jesus would come back. But I'm not sure if that is the truth, because Jesus didn't tell his disciples the times. The only thing he told them was that they must be ready. Do not worry about dates. The question is, are you ready? Are we people that seek to serve Christ and His church as a sign that we are ready for His return? Or do we repent of our sins and live out our true identity as a sign that we hate sin and seek to live godly lives? Are we people whose eyes are fixed on eternity rather than on things of here and now? I'm guilty of living my life as though heaven is not real. Well, maybe you're the same. Well, let us turn away from this thinking and ask God for help to set our hearts burning, longing for the Son of Man to return and take us home. Our hearts should also long for those who are not ready for the return of Jesus. We know there will be gnashing of teeth, lake of fire, and the absence of God for those who are not ready. Let us pray and do evangelism. Let us encourage one another. Well, so we've seen that it is important to be ready at all times, and there's a blessing for those who are ready. But you may ask the question, what does this look like, being ready every day as a servant of Christ at work, at home, church, and just in a public social life? So what does this look like? And this leads me to my second point, verses 41 to 48. We know that Jesus is coming, so be faithful and wise as you wait for Him. We know that Jesus is coming, so be faithful and wise as you wait for Him. So Jesus has established the point that He will come back, so be ready. But what does this imply and to whom? That is the question we're going to tackle in these verses. In fact, it was the Apostle Peter who asked this question. Look down at verse 41. Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" Us there refers to the close friends of Jesus, the apostles. And I take it that Peter wants to know to whom this parable applies to. Is it to the 12 that has been with Jesus for 3 years? Or is it just for random people who've been following Jesus as well? Well, as always, Jesus answers Peter's questions wisely by asking back with a question. Who is then faithful manager? And notice that we have moved from servants to manager. In a nutshell, this passage applies to all, but most especially to leaders within the community, since all are evaluated by the master on his return. So we have the master who has gone away, but he will come back. And we've got the manager who's just a servant in front of the master's eyes. So the manager has been given responsibility over the household of the master, and that includes other servants. So the master of the house has entrusted the manager to look after the household, making sure that there's gas heating working properly, guests are treated warmly and are welcome, and the list goes on. And if that servant serves faithfully and does what is supposed to be done, then he will be blessed. Let's call this servant Faithful Fred. If your name is Fred, I do apologize. I didn't know that. So Fred will find favor in the eyes of his master because he has been wise. He knew his master was away, but he carried on being faithful and wise as he waited for him. Look at verses 44, the blessings that he will get. Truly I say to you, he will set over him all his possessions. So this faithful Fred will be lavished with blessings from his master. So the people that the Lord has put in charge in different capacities, they must carry out their duties wisely and faithfully because it is Jesus who is our master. The apostles were given the position to preach and to preach the word, to write it down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they did that. And this is a continuation, friends. So those of us who have been given responsibility to teach in small groups, let us be faithful and wise as we do that. Let us not rush into getting the main point of the passage, and in that process our hearts are far away from the Lord. Let us be faithful and wise. Having spent some time with a few Bible study leaders here on the barge, I have been encouraged to see seeing how they handle the Bible and how they let it transform them into the image of their master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been faithful, like Fred. And there is a blessing waiting for them. But, verse 45, there is a warning. So if Fred stops being wise and faithful, and he says to himself, well, my master is delaying in coming. And notice that he's not saying my master is not coming anymore. Rather, my master is delaying. That is what we see in the world, isn't it? This servant is not living as though his master is coming back. He probably thinks in his mind that he can get away with many things for now and cover them up. Well, I can identify with this servant. I know that Jesus is coming back, but he's delaying. So therefore, I want to live for a here and now moment. Well, this can't be right. If you are anything like me, you know that this is a lie from the devil whispering to us, go on, sin a little bit, just live for a here and now. Anyway, Jesus won't come back anytime soon to judge. Do not believe those lies. Let us keep having that eternal perspective. Let us learn from the faithful servant of verse 43 who will receive blessings. Well, this unfaithful servant then, he starts to abuse what has been given to him. He beats up the servants that are under his care. He indulges himself to drinks and food, and he gets drunk. He has been unfaithful. Having begun on a right note, he has gone from bad to worse. I remember a dear friend who led me to Christ. He was a faithful man in the beginning of his walk with the Lord. Down the years, he gave into sin. The man that was meant to support gospel ministry, he took that to himself. And that led to many sins. He knew that Jesus was coming back, but he was not wise and faithful as he waited for him. And certainly now he died 4 years ago, and it is not my place to judge whether my friend is with the Lord or not. And probably this is a lesson for us, that we must keep going. We must be faithful and wise as we wait for him. Dress for action all the time until the Lord comes. The Master will come at the time we do not expect. To the unfaithful servant, he will judge, verse 46. He will separate the faithful from the unfaithful. He will judge the wicked. He will separate the godly from, with the ungodly. Those who have been found unfaithful will have their place, a place without God, and that is hell. May we be faithful as we wait for Jesus' return. Take this warning. Be a faithful spouse. Husbands, God in Christ has put you in this position to be a leader. Lead with wisdom and faithfulness as you wait for your master. And I would love your prayers as well as I enter into marriage in 6 weeks' time. Some of you here, God has given you really important positions at your work. Do you abuse the power that you have? What about the resources? Are you a fair boss? Now, it's worth remembering that what we do on the surface, sometimes that is a true reflection of the relationship that we have with our Creator. Be faithful as you wait for him, because you know that he's coming. Verses 47 to 48a lays out for us different punishments to different people according to what they know and have been put in charge of. So here there seems to be three servants. There's one who has completely rejected and abused the position that he has been given. Therefore, he's put with the unfaithful. And secondly, we have a servant who knows his master's will, but he ignores it. And thirdly, we have a servant who does not know, and he will get a light beating. Friends, we ought not to take this lightly. It is a parable, of course. It is a great story. But it's making a point that what we know, we must act on it. We must be people seeking to be faithful to Jesus, especially to us who've been put in leadership positions. This would have applied primarily to the apostles, the second section, but also to everyone who listens to Jesus' words. For us who lead small groups, let us be faithful to the text and be faithful to him. As you prepare, let not your heart be divorced from him. James 3 warns the teachers of the word that they must take careful consideration, for we are going to be judged more than others, because we are God's mouthpiece to people. And this applies to everyone who is teaching the word. Well, you might be blessed by given the responsibility of being a mom. Well, you've got the responsibility there to be faithful and wise. And with the knowledge that you have from the Bible, you must act on that. Be encouraged by the blessings to be faithful and wise as you wait for your master's return. And the overarching principle of verses 8:48b is that the knowledge influences the severity of punishment. Everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. So we've got our Bibles in English. We've got that privilege of understanding God's word. And much will be required from us. There are some countries whom they don't have the Bibles in their own languages. Well, what are you doing with the knowledge that you have? Are you using it by the help of the Spirit to be a faithful, wise servant at work as you wait for your master? Maybe you have come here on the barge a couple of times and you heard about this character, Jesus, that he died for your sins. Repent and believe in him. but you just say, oh, this is another thing that people teach. But you know about this, and you will be called upon it. You know the gospel. When Christ comes tonight, or I don't know when, and says, why haven't you believed in me? You can't say, I didn't know. You know the gospel today. Jesus died for your sins. So turn away from your sins, believe in him, and you will be saved. That is the message of the cross. You know it. So be ready for his return. May the God of peace, my brothers and sisters, help and sustain us to be prepared, geared, ready for his son's return. Some of you here I will be seeing for the last time in these two coming weeks. I'll be seeing you for the last time here on earth. I won't see you ever again. But how I hope and pray that when Christ comes, I will see you. I'll see your faces. I'll give you a big hug. How I pray and wish for that. It will be sad to see you ushered through the doors of hell. Keep on keeping on. Stay dressed for action. Be wise and faithful as you wait for your master's return. Let's be quiet for a moment, and then I'll hand over to Clayton.